Hello and welcome to ArcSiv LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we look at a new ArcSiv paper every day and try to keep up with the ridiculous speed of AI innovation, but in a way that stays practical. Today we're digging into DriftBench, diagnosing cooperative breakdowns in LLM agents under input faults via multi-turn interaction. In plain terms, it's a benchmark and diagnostic framework to see how agent systems behave over several turns when the inputs are messy.
Input faults here means the stuff you actually see in real life. Corrupted uploads, missing fields, ambiguous instructions, bad OCR.
Cooperative breakdowns means the point where multiple agents, or an agent and a human, unintentionally reinforce each other's mistakes across turns, and the whole workflow drifts off course. This matters now because multi-agent and agent-plus-human pipelines are everywhere. Task-switching assistants that hand context between steps,
your tool using agents that rely on flaky metadata.
And they're fragile. Our plan today, Mark will bring the field perspective on real usage, and Jamie will unpack the AI and technical side. The value question for this episode. Concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing, and what need does it meet today? Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
In real life, the weak spot is handoffs under imperfect inputs. Picture a support assistant. User email comes in with a half-broken PDF. The planner agent drafts a summary. The tool user runs extraction. Then a verifier or a human gives a quick thumbs up. One small mismatch, wrong date parsed, missing customer ID, and you get compounding errors. The next agent confirms a bad assumption, calls the wrong tool, or updates the ticket incorrectly. Most teams still evaluate on single-turn happy paths, so these drifts don't show up until production. What we need is a way to inject realistic input faults before release, replay those multi-turn traces, and measure recovery behaviors. Do agents ask for clarification, escalate, or double down? A benchmark diagnostic gives product and infra a common checklist, metrics to compare model plus prompt variants, and consistent logs we can use in postmortems. It turns something went wrong into we fail 40% of the time on missing IDs, but we recover if we add a confirmation step.
So if I sum that up, the brittleness isn't just a single bad answer. It's the snowball when messy inputs pass through multiple steps without guardrails. A diagnostic like this lets you rehearse those messes and see whether your pipeline recovers or spirals. Jamie, from the AI side, why is this kind of approach showing up now?
We've hit the limits of single-turn benchmarks while real deployments move to tool use, planners, and verifiers. LLMs are sensitive to small context shifts, and across multiple turns, those shifts accumulate, what we call drift. Add input faults and you get feedback loops. An early misread becomes a confident but wrong plan that subsequent agents cooperate with. A multi-turn benchmark with controlled fault injection is how you detect patterns like error amplification, mistaken confirmations, or spurious tool hopping. It also helps teams compare prompts, policies, and architectures. For instance, does adding an explicit confirmation step or shared state store reduce drift? With costs and latency under pressure, you can't just over-provision a bigger model. You need robustness. That's why this kind of evaluation framework is landing now. It aligns with how agent systems are actually being built and monitored. At a technical level, DriftBench is a multi-turn interaction benchmark designed to diagnose cooperative breakdowns when inputs are faulty. It defines a taxonomy of input faults, things like missing fields, corrupted files, ambiguous instructions, stale or inconsistent tool outputs, and places them into scripted interaction patterns, planner, tool using executor, reviewer, or human in the loop, often over several turns. You can inject a specific fault at a specific step, then log everything: messages, tool calls, intermediate plans, memory state. The benchmark scores whether the agents recover, ask for clarification, escalate, or repair, or whether they propagate the error. It plugs into evaluation and robustness testing. You run suites of these traces against your agent stack, prompts, or model choices. Compared to prior single-turn or non-cooperative benchmarks, this focuses on how coordination degrades over time, not just whether one response is correct in isolation.
So put differently, it's not just a stress test. It's a way to watch agents fail together over time when the inputs are wrong, and to see who catches it, who confirms it, and whether the system recovers. Mark, what does that change in day-to-day usage?
In real life, it gives us a pre-flight checklist of messy cases we can run before a release. Instead of hoping our assistant handles noise, we inject it on purpose, replay multi-turn traces, and watch the handoffs. We add a few concrete metrics: recovery rate by fault type, how many turns to recover, how often we escalate. Then we try small policy tweaks: require a confirmation, share a structured state, or add a sanity check tool, and see if those metrics move. It turns vague prompt debates into measurable trade-offs we can ship with confidence.
Let's make it concrete. Use case one, customer support. Think user uploads, screenshots, weird PDFs. Mark, how would DriftBench-style tests change triage, logging, and prompts?
Take a support assistant that processes refund requests. The user attaches a photo of a receipt, OCR sometimes mangles totals, and the account ID may be missing. We build a small suite, corrupt the image, drop the ID, make the totals inconsistent. The expected behaviors are explicit. Ask for a re-upload if OCR confidence is low, prompt the user for the missing ID, or escalate if totals don't reconcile. Triage changes because tickets get fault labels like missing field or low confidence OCR, which route differently. Logging changes because we store turn level reasons and tool outputs so we can see, for example, that the verifier ignored a confidence flag. And prompts change from extract details to extract details and if confidence threshold or fields missing, ask a targeted clarification before taking action. That alone cuts down on wrong refunds.
So we deliberately throw garbage at the pipeline and check if it asks a smart question instead of marching ahead. Let's level up. Use case two, a more complex multi-agent flow. Planner, executor, verifier, maybe a human approver. How would you embed this in CI, postmortems, or even model selection, Mark?
What usually happens is we wire it into CI like unit tests. Every PR that touches prompts, tools, or routing runs a fixed suite of multi-turn faulted traces. If recovery rate drops or time to recovery increases, the PR is blocked. For model selection, we run the same suite across different model combos. Say model A is planner, model B is verifier, and pick the mix that minimizes cooperative failures at acceptable latency. In postmortems, we replay the exact trace with the injected fault and compare it to a replay after we add, for example, a confirmation gate or a schema-aware memory. We keep a simple dashboard: recovery rate by fault type, average turns to recovery, and escalation ratio. It becomes a living regression harness, not a one-off test.
Jamie, connect that back to the mechanics. How do the multi-turn traces and the fault taxonomy actually reveal these cooperative failure modes? And what fixes does the paper nudge us toward?
The traces make patterns visible. Error amplification shows up when a planner misreads a field, and the executor keeps aligning decisions to that mistake across turns. Mistaken confirmations appear when a verifier or human rubber stamps without checking evidence. Spurious tool use looks like agents hopping tools when they're uncertain but never addressing the original fault. Because faults are labeled, like missing slot or corrupted doc, you can correlate modes to mitigations. Concrete policies that help: a shared typed state so slots must be filled before risky actions, explicit confirmation gates on irreversible steps, prompts that incorporate tool confidence and ask clarify loops, and repair strategies like a fallback parser before escalating. Architecturally, adding a small state store, a verifier with access to the original evidence, and even heterogeneous models for planner versus verifier reduce echo effects. Also, bounded memory or selective memory resets prevent anchoring on the initial mistake.
Great. Under the hood, what are the prerequisites and the limits here, Jamie?
Prerequisites: your agents have to be modular enough that you can inject faults at inputs or tool outputs, and you need deterministic-ish replays, fixed seeds, stable tools to compare runs. You also need rich logging: messages, tool I/O, intermediate state, and turn level tags. Assumptions: the benchmark models a curated set of fault types and common interaction patterns, often 2 to 3 roles, sometimes homogeneous agents, though you can vary them. Limitations: simulated faults can't capture all real-world mess. LLM-based scoring or judgments can be noisy. Running multi-turn suites costs time and money, and there's a risk of overfitting your policies to the benchmark. Future work the authors point toward includes scaling up with real telemetry, closed-loop deployment studies, better faithfulness metrics, and safety strategies like automatic escalation thresholds.
In plain language, you need to instrument your stack so you can flip a switch and make inputs wrong on purpose, replay the whole conversation, and see exactly where it went off the rails. You'll want dashboards that show recovery by fault type and alerts if a change makes things more brittle. Simply swapping to a bigger model won't fix cooperative drift. You need confirmation steps, shared state, and policies that react to low confidence signals. Also, plan budget for these eval runs and wire them into CI so they run automatically.
From the org side, involve product to define expected behaviors and escalation rules, ML infra to build the harness and logging, SRE to set cost latency budgets and alerts, and QA or support ops to curate a fault library from real incidents. Minimum tooling, a structured log store, a prompt version registry, a replay runner that can inject faults, and a small dashboard with recovery metrics. Start with 20 to 30 representative faulted scenarios seeded from your backlog. Culturally, require reproducible traces for every incident. Run monthly drift drills, like chaos engineering for agents, and make passing the fault suite part of your definition of done.
According to the paper's experiments, when they inject a single input fault into multi-turn agent workflows, think missing fields, corrupted docs, or inconsistent tool outputs, end-to-end task success drops markedly compared to clean runs. Numbers vary by scenario, but you see on the order of a 20 to 40% hit without any mitigation. They track metrics like recovery rate by fault type, cooperative step failure rate, i.e., where the next agent reinforces the mistake, turns to recovery and escalation ratio. The authors also evaluate faithfulness and consistency across turns, so you can catch when agents stay confident while drifting from evidence. Compared to baselines, adding simple policies like explicit confirmation gates or a shared typed state improves recovery by roughly 15 to 25% and reduces error propagation events. They test different model pairings for planner, executor, verifier. Heterogeneous setups generally do better than homogeneous ones at catching each other's mistakes. Most runs are in controlled settings with synthetic faults, seeded by patterns from real incidents, and they note modest latency and token overhead for the extra checks.
Basically, if the paper shows a 20 to 40% drop when you nudge the input the wrong way, that's a bright red sign your pipeline is brittle. Though remember, those are lab conditions. The practical upside is you get a yardstick. Add a confirmation step, share state, rerun the suite, and you can see if the failure rate meaningfully falls. Mark, what should teams actually expect once this hits production noise?
In the wild, it's usually a bit worse. Real inputs are messier and bursty, so that 20-40% drop can look like 30 to 50% on a bad day if you don't have guardrails. The good news, the mitigations do pay off. We've seen fewer escalations, on the order of 25 to 40% when we add targeted clarifications and typed state, plus faster debugging because we can replay the exact trace. ROI shows up as fewer wrong actions that ops has to unwind, shorter mean time to resolution for incidents, and clearer model prompt comparisons, so you stop thrashing. You'll also save analyst time because postmortems become fix the confirmation gate for missing ID instead of week-long whack-a-mole.
Quick clarification, Jamie. Were these mostly synthetic faults, or did they include real user noise? And what do they say about the cost and latency overhead of these recovery policies?
Mostly controlled fault injections, but the catalog is grounded in issues observed from real logs, so the patterns are realistic, even if the setup is cleaner than production. On overhead, the authors report modest increases. Extra turns for confirmations and verifications add a few hundred tokens, and depending on your models, something like low double-digit percentage latency in those paths. They argue it's cheaper than rework and incidents, and you can scope it with thresholds. Only trigger the extra step when confidence is low or fields are missing.
Got it. So plan for a little extra latency where it matters, but you win on stability and fewer rollbacks. Mark, give us the closing field take. Who benefits most and under what setup conditions?
Teams with multi-agent orchestration, tool-using assistance, or any product that ingests messy inputs, support, ops, finance back office, healthcare admin, will get the most value. Minimum conditions, decent logging, the ability to replay traces, a small curated fault library from your own incidents, and someone owning the eval and CI. Start with 20 to 30 scenarios, wire pass fail to your PR checks, and review the dashboard in weekly ops. If you do that, the benchmark becomes a safety net, not a science project.
One line takeaway. This paper gives you a practical way to measure and fix how agents fail together when inputs are wrong, so you can ship pipelines that degrade gracefully instead of cascading into bad decisions. To finish, a quick reminder, the English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nblotty.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArcSieve LLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.